Do you know how many varieties of shark there are? There's somewhere over 400 different varieties of shark. You know, you'd think one variety would be enough, but 400? You know how many varieties of okra there is? I could only discover about 12 or 14 different varieties. Now, I don't know if that says something between okra and sharks, about the Lord's diversity, or maybe it says something about okra, I'm not certain, but some of those would agree with me and some would not necessarily, but nevertheless. The God that we serve is a God who likes diversity, okay? And we see that everywhere. It would be a sad situation if we were all exactly alike. We come to church on a Sabbath morning and virtually everything looked the same, okay? And Ellen White calls that automatons, basically. In her day, that was like mass-produced robots or something like that. I want to talk with you just a little bit. I think we're a mature enough audience here. I can delve into this maybe a bit superficial, but nevertheless, we'll still touch something here. And that was the day that you were conceived, okay? Interesting facts here that sort of capture our minds a little bit and gives us a better idea about diversity. Before I get into that, though, how many of you here are really special? Could you stand and raise your hand if you're really special? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Great. Have a seat. So what I'm going to talk about for the next bit of time here is for the rest of you, okay? Because we've identified all the special ones, okay? On the day that you were conceived, there was a bit of an off balance. Your mother provided one egg, and your father provided somewhere between 300 million and 500, almost a half a billion sperm. Now, I don't know if this says something about quality or anything, but nevertheless, that's about what the ratio was, okay? And the objective of every one of those little wiggly things basically was that egg. One single egg out there and a half a billion things trying to get to that egg first, okay? A half a billion, okay? And they all have one thing in mind, one objective, and that's getting to that egg, okay? Only one makes it. And as soon as that one egg, that one sperm makes it into that egg has enough sense, enough feminine sense to block out all the others that are coming close by. And so there's only one sperm that makes into that egg out of a half a billion, okay? And that one sperm has within it the genetic code to match up or to combine with the genetic code that's in that egg. In that half a billion sperm or so, that genetic code was different in every one of those as compared to the one that actually penetrated that egg. So if that one hadn't done it, maybe it was your brother or sister sitting next to you instead of you being there. You know, you don't know. But nevertheless, though, that's the way it happened. And if that weren't enough of a struggle for that little new thing coming together to create life, there's a situation with timing. It has to be the right time, the right month, the right week, the right day, the right hour. It all has to come together at the right time for this all to happen. And if that wasn't enough, about 1 in 5 pregnancies are miscarried. And if that wasn't enough, about 1 in 100 pregnancies basically are stillborn. And if that weren't enough, nowadays about 1 in 4 pregnancies are terminated one reason or another, okay? So out of all of that chance, with all those billions of possibilities, it comes down to some overwhelming odds. And so about 1/3 of the fertilized eggs ever see the light of day, basically, Okay? This is not an accident. This is not a perchance. This is a situation that God has his hand in with every one of you that sits here, okay? Every one of you. The overwhelming odds that every one of you who have already overcome at the date of your birth far outweigh most everything else you're going to face in your life, okay? You are a winner, all right? The very fact that you sit in this church, you are an unbelievable winner. You have overcome amazing, amazing, amazing odds to be here and to be alive and to see this beautiful Sabbath day. So let me ask the question again, and I'm going to flip it around a little bit. What I want is, if you are special, and if, well, let's put it the other way around, I'm sorry. If you're not special, if you're not special at all, I want you to stand and raise your hand. All the rest of you stay seated. Oh, look at that. Look at the learning that's gone on this morning. Can you imagine this? You just have to ask the questions the right way. That's all you have to do, I guess. Now that you realize that you are special and that there's something specific that God has for you, otherwise you would not be here. Okay. Many of you, especially if you're younger, and it doesn't really make any difference what your age is, you have a role to play. And even at my age, I'm looking at this and say, what's my role today, Lord? Okay. And that's a question that each one of us should ask basically every morning. And that probably is best asked on our knees before God and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Okay, what's special about this day that you've given to me? How you let me see the light of another day. What's special about this day? What have you got in store for me, okay, today, okay? You kids, basically, you're looking at your life and you say, well, he's got it all together, okay? He's done this, he's done that, he's done the other thing, and so forth. And you're saying, I wish I had a clear goal in my mind, in my life, that here's where I'm at UCA anyway, and I don't know what I'm going to be. There are some of you, though, that already have in your mind pictured exactly what you want to do once you finish UCA, whether it be go on to college or something else anyway. You know clearly what you have in your mind. But many of you sitting out there, and even as adults anyway, we sit here and say, Lord, I haven't got a clue, okay? And what do we do with that dilemma that we find ourselves in? Part of what can help you here, not a part, but a big part of what helps you, is what you expose yourself to every day, okay? There's a law in this universe that God has ordained, and it's for your good, and it probably can be to your downfall also, too. And that law basically is that the intellectual and the spiritual nature are changed by what we behold, okay? So what you spend your time doing, what you spend your time looking at, reading, those kinds of things change who you are, okay? And so another good reason to spend maybe some time with what Pastor Richie was talking about, learning how to be a better spouse, that type of thing anyway. We have many opportunities every day, and how you use those opportunities and what you do with that will determine a great deal as to where you find yourself each day and whether at the end of that day you can feel, somehow I made a difference with somebody someplace. The idea is to do literally all to the glory of God. Responsibility is all around you, and to recognize that responsibility is a major thing in your life, okay? When I was in high school, I went to Loma Linda Union Academy in Southern California. We had, I think, 65 or 70 seniors in our class anyway, And actually, size-wise, if I think back on it, was not a whole lot different from the size of this school now. Currently, at Loma Linda Academy anyway, they've got, 1,500, 2,000 students, something like that anyway. It's a lot different. But I found myself basically in a real dilemma because I was not a good student. I was like a lot of you. Today they would probably have diagnosed me as being an ADHD type student. In other words, attention deficit hyperactivity syndrome anyway. And if they'd have had Ritalin or a few of the other drugs like that, I can tell you I would have been drugged up. Most of my classes, the teachers looked at me and thought that there ought to be a cage someplace we can put him in and put him aside so he doesn't disrupt things. I had a hard time sitting still, especially in springtime. When things were nice outside and winter was over with anyway, man, I could not sit still. To sit and concentrate on anything. And I still can't do that today too well anyway. That's probably one of the reasons I moved out of dentistry and went to anesthesia, because I could get up and walk around if I needed to, whereas otherwise I had to sit right there and look in someone's clean, totally unadulterated mouth all day long, which is not the case, as you well know. But anyway, as I discovered in my experience here at Loma Linda anyway, that what I needed was help, okay? And so good friends of mine had the capacity for mental ability that I didn't have, and so I made sure I was really close to them, okay? And I've done that pretty much all the way through my educational experience. Now, that's not a matter that I was cheating and copying, and I'd like to say that I never did anything like that with my friends, but probably I did some of that too anyway. And I'm not condoning that kind of activity by any stretch of the imagination. But in my classes, there were always somebody, and this used to really bother me, because the people that were really, really smart were in the back of the class, most of them anyway, cutting up all the time, paying no attention to what was going on, and the rest of us were struggling away like mad, trying to keep focused and try to soak up some of this type of thing anyway. And somehow, I got through high school. Now, with the grade point average that I got through high school with anyway, I would have to go to a junior college, okay? Because most universities would not accept a GPA well under 2.0, all right? And I had difficulty studying until after I spent a couple of years at your government's expense in the Army. And when I got out of that experience anyway, for some reason or another, in a few more years behind me, I was able to sort of settle down and actually concentrate a little bit on studying. And that was a huge, big help. Still wasn't certain exactly what to do. What I felt like I wanted to do maybe was to go into dentistry, but the reality of it is I thought, man, do I ever have the ability to do that? Because some of my friends in high school, in academy anyway, had gone into dentistry. In fact, one of them, he only spent 3 years in college, and man, he made it out within 7 years after academy. He was a licensed dentist, and he's worked for the church for a lot of years anyway, and pretty amazing. Anyway, the Lord led me and guided me and held me by the hand, and I can see very specific times where, as I look back anyway, it was God's leading and guiding. A potluck at Santa Monica, I got Karen. What else could you ask for at a potluck? So anyway, it's one of those strange, strange stories, but God had a specific hand in that, actually. Made application to dental school, and you know how things happen when you're trying to make application to school. You know certain letters and things like that that you get, and you look for thick letters or thin letters. Okay, so applications were in, struggled to get the grades I needed, and people all around me that I had been going to school with had gotten accepted into school anyway, and I hadn't, and I thought, well, man, another year? Maybe not. I don't know. And we're coming right up to the cutoff date, basically, where I knew that on that day, anyway, was the last day that they were sending out letters. And on that day, we got a letter. And it was a thick letter. And before I even opened it, I thought, hallelujah, Lord, it's a thick letter. Because a thin letter doesn't take a whole lot of words to say, thank you for your application, but please try again next year. That's just a single page type thing with a dean's name on it. But a thick letter means there's more stuff to fill out and you've made it. So we looked for thick letters and we found one. I was next to the last student to be accepted in my class in dentistry. And interestingly enough, the student that got accepted after me, I think because somebody else dropped out and he got put in anyway, he was a person somewhat similar to myself anyway in the fact that he really needed the tutoring of other students who were a lot better student than he was. But today, he's probably the richest student from our class, bar none, hands down. Not that that's a big thing, but it just goes to show you anyway that not everything is created equal. In fact, few things are, okay? And so I look back at my class and some of the students that were what seemed like they were most religious in our class, basically, I look at today and most, and not most, but some of those are nowhere to be found in the church. And I've asked myself many times, anyway, why am I still here? You know, what kind of led me and guided me through this path? And as I was thinking about that this week, anyway, I thought, well, one of the things that I did is that I kept going to church. You know, even after I left academy, and partly it was because I knew there was a good potluck in Santa Monica. Little did I know I was going to get a wife besides the potluck, but Adventist Church is a great place to get a hot meal on a Sabbath. And you get out someplace, you need a hot meal on a Sabbath, most Adventist churches have a potluck. Or maybe if you're lucky and you go to the right church, there'll be enough community in that church that you'll get invited home for some good meals there too. So I find myself in this situation anyway. And what I find myself doing anyway is that you have to learn how to make a commitment. And at young age and old age, there's never a time when you can't make a commitment. I'm going to tell you a story about commitment. There was a farmer who treated his animals with unbelievable care. And his animals realized that this farmer was an exception compared to all the other farms around. And they were happy to be at his farm. And one day, the pig got together with the chicken and said, you know, we really ought to do something for the farmer. He is so good to us. He gives us food and water and lodging, and he cares for us if we get ill and things like that. We got to do something for the farmer. And they're thinking and rolling their heads around like that, and finally the chicken gets a smile on his face. You can picture that. And he says, I know what we can do. Let's give the farmer eggs and bacon. And the pig smiled at first and says, bacon and eggs. A good idea. And he got thinking about that and he says, your part, you're going to make a contribution. You're going to give an egg. My part, bacon. He says, now that takes commitment. Okay? Contribution's one thing. Commitment is something entirely different. Okay? Commitment is a long-range type thing anyway. And commitment means perseverance. That means you have to go the distance with this type of thing. Irregardless of discouragement or failures or opposition anyway, commitment requires something on your part. Okay? So what you're going to be faced with and what I'm faced with today and everybody in here is a struggle each and every single day, okay? And part of the struggle is whether we're going to be served or whether we're going to serve, okay? How you're going to approach your day, okay? If you look at your fellow students, are you going to see needs or are you going to see somebody, how come they dressed like that today? What were they thinking, okay? Or are you going to look at them and say, I wonder if there's something I can help them with? Do they really understand this math problem? Is there something that I can contribute possibly to be of some assistance to someone here anyway? One of the struggles you're going to have to come up against and struggle with day in and day out is trust, okay? I'm a pretty self-sufficient individual, all right? I like to do it myself any way I possibly can, and rarely do I ask for help, okay? Dave's smiling back there because I don't ask Dave for help too much. But I don't do help. I don't know how to coordinate those kinds of things anyway. And I much prefer to kind of do it myself, sort of stumble through and get things done anyway. But one of the things that I'm learning in my life right now anyway is that I'm starting to learn not to trust myself. And that's not because I'm getting old and senile and stuff like that, although that may be part of it. But part of it is the fact that being someone who has worked their way through so many things and done a lot of things, I feel like oftentimes I'm a jack of all trades and an absolute master of none, okay? I can do a lot of things, okay? And I can do them fairly well. And one of my struggles in life is looking at people who have a lot of intellectual ability and things like that. And for me to struggle about standing next to them, I've had to tell myself anyway, I said, yeah, but some of my good friends that are so intellectual anyway, they have to wear loafers because they really can't command how to tie shoes too well, all right? And loafers are so much easier. You just slip your feet into them. You don't have to worry about whether you got the knot right or whether the knot's going to come undone, stuff like that anyway. You just put your feet in and off you go, all right? But to learn not to trust yourself with things that are a challenge to you day in and day out, that is hard to do. And to learn to put your trust in God and say, Lord, today for this, I'm not very trustworthy, okay? And if I can't get help from you, I know I'm going to fail today in this area. And so I need to put my trust in you today. Send me the help that I need. Open up my eyes. And Lord, please help me to learn the things that I need to learn for this day. And one of the things that I'm learning is that one of the gifts that Jesus gave to us, one of the most special gifts, there was a time when Jesus was face to face with his disciples, and that last week, those last days, those last hours, while he was still with them, where he was revealing to them the fact that he was going to leave them, and they were dependent upon him. Their whole lives were wrapped up in their association with him, day in and day out. And the reality of the fact that he had been telling them time and time again, it was finally settling in that you know, if we stay close to this fella, we are facing some very uncertain times this weekend. And so Jesus tells them that I'm going to be going away, but I've got a special gift for you, and that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. And one of the things we need to realize today in the society that we live in, the age of this earth, and the circumstances that surround most of the earth, not here in Spangle, but most of the earth, is that we need the Holy Spirit. And the sad thing of it is we don't know how much we need the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things we need to ask for every day is a better understanding of how much we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, to have that revealed to us so that we can cling to it better. It takes some fairly stiff life experiences to make change in your life sometimes. Ask Chuck, who's just come back from Africa, and better yet, maybe ask Roxanne Wickward and some of the experiences that she went through. A lot of you have heard about post-traumatic stress disorder. And the reality of that doesn't sink into you unless you've actually experienced some of that. And if you've actually been in a theater, and I don't mean the movie type, but in an area where things are extremely stressful, you have no idea how that affects you and how it might change your life one way or the other, okay? And it's a whole new learning about what to trust and what not to trust, okay? And in this room, in this town, in this location, this state right now, you couldn't ask for a more peaceful, beautiful, unintrusive Sabbath morning than we've got right now. But there are places on this planet, like where Roxy just came from, where that whole thing is upside down, and those people think that they are not only in the end times, but the Lord's coming so soon because of all the disasters that are happening around them. I mean, it's reality there. Here, it's intangible. Okay? It's hard to get your mind around that. And I wonder, what do we say to each other in these days that get us focused on the kind of time that we live in, the reality of it? Most of you probably don't listen to the news. But some of you know and realize that within the last month or so, there's been at least two reporters who have had their head taken off of their shoulders because of a group of people who, I mean, it's hard for us to even comprehend that kind of a mindset. And yet there's a growing number of people in this world that are just like that because of your differences of opinion. That's all the more reason that they need, basically, to sever your body parts, your head from your body, okay? And that's hard to grasp in an environment like we're in right now, okay? But the reality of it is, somehow, some way, we need to catch a vision of the times that we're in. And what's your responsibility? What do you have to say? And most of you say, well, what do I have to say, okay? You all have an experience. And you need to ask Jesus for clarification of that experience and how you can tell it in a way that catches people's attention anyway. It's not just that, but how you interact with each other, how we all interact with each other. Your attitude, your words, and your actions will ultimately tell the world that you're a Christian that loves Jesus and you want to share that. Your attitudes, your words, and your actions. The reality of it is that every day there's a possibility for discouragement. Satan is not here to let any of us go unscathed. In the morning watch that Karen and I are reading by George Knight this year, this morning's last paragraph kind of struck me. It says, there are days when I feel desolate, hopeless, and forsaken. And so that's the bad news. But the good news is that I'm not the orphan I feel like. I have a heavenly Father, a risen Lord, a powerful helper, and a guarantee of life everlasting. I may be tempted today to be discouraged and let that get the best of me. But what I need to do is to turn my eyes again to the realities that I have in Jesus. Let's sing that chorus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Father in heaven, you have a room full of special people here. And everyone has a special way of extending the good news about you and the blessings that you have given. Everyone is specific with that. And that's what you ask. Each one of us has a special relationship with you. Help us to search for a deeper understanding of you. And God, please give us a growing, burning desire for your Holy Spirit that we might be all that you want us to be and that we can be. And thank you for your love and for your care and for hearing our many prayers this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.